بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته، ولا أمة بعد أمته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل، ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك، وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Most respected honorable ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now we come into that season where the discussion revolves primarily around the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and the intention was to create Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned this to the angels right at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. O angels, I will be creating a vicegerent for the earth. قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء. O Allah, are you going to create? Do you intend having a creation that will spread mischief? There will be bloodshed, shed and anarchy in the world due to this creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to prove the angels wrong, and our life has to be to prove that objection incorrect, that we are not a creation of bloodshed, of mischief, of fasad, of anarchy in the world. So what was the secret ingredient that was required to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for a very divine objective and reason? And that secret ingredient that we need to bring within ourselves is Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The entire test of every Nabi was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them with any directive, then the lesson was to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Nabi Adam alayhi salam with two sons, Habil and Qabil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked both of them for their sacrifice. One was accepted, one was rejected. Now that was the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Qabil obviously was overtaken by jealousy, envy, hatred, because of which he took the life of his brother Habil. And then every Nabi was tested throughout the ages, and the test was, are we going to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or will we be employing our logic and intelligence in the face of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the people that had subjected, or rather that were subservient to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were subservient, they were successful. And those that use logic, and they use, we would say, the aqal, the intelligence, the rationale, it needs to make sense for me to comply, then that was the stepping stone to the destruction of those people, of that nation, or of that group of people. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was an embodiment of submission. every single lesson or every single incident in the life of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was total submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is blessed with nubuwa, and the first person to be given this dawah is his father. And it falls on deaf ears, rather he is faced with hostility, enmity, even from his blood father, his biological father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's the line, we draw a line in the ground and say, that we have to move on, and we will have to abandon even our father for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam does not question Allah. He doesn't ask, Ya Allah, is it, maybe not now, maybe when I'm a little bit bigger, or maybe when the house is small, I'll move out with my family so I have some reason. No questions. Immediately he turns, leaves the village, leaves his father. Natural love for the father will always be there. And that love was always in the heart of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, worried and concerned about his father. Father passes away, he wants to make istighfar for even his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions him. He is a mushrik, he is a kafir, that is not permissible. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam makes hijrah with one of his wives, comes to Makkah Mukarramah, a barren land, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to leave his milk suckling child in that area, and he does it with total submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually Kaaba Sharif was built. Yes, built over time by many personalities. One was the building of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the ayat of the Quran speak about it, that when he comes to the completion of the Kaaba Sharif and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna. O may Allah accept my offering for your deen. I've built this house for your sake. And we know du'as will be readily accepted in the Kaaba Sharif. Readily accepted in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What du'a is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam making? Rabbana waj'alna muslimain lak wa min dhurriyatina ummatan muslimatan lak. O may Allah make myself, make us, our family, totally submissive and obedient to your commands. Bless us with this quality of ita'a, of submission to your command. And bless me from my progeny, there will be an entire ummah that will be submissive to you. An entire ummah that will be submissive to your command, for which we are known as Muslim. Why? We submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ready to bow down our heads in front of any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, very briefly, not to go into the detail, because the point that we are driving home, the lesson that we need to bring within ourselves, is total submission, and that needs to permeate my every aspect of my life. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam is blessed with a son, details of which perhaps in the future Jumu'ahs would be discussed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him to sacrifice his son. Ya Allah, no problem. If this has to be sacrificed, it has to be sacrificed. Ready to sacrifice his son for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zubair radiallahu anhu, he possessed a land on the upper area of a decline and a slope. There was a rivulet, or there was a water stream that would go through his orchard and flow downhill to the neighboring and the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Zubair radiallahu anhu was on a higher area, and another Sahabi was on a lower area of the slope, this gradient land, and the water would flow from the top to the bottom. They naturally would use that water for irrigation purposes. So the Sahabi at the bottom, he comes and he complains. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zubair radiallahu anhu is overusing the water that's flowing. Please, I've brought this case to you. and I expect there to be fair justice meted out. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Zubair, Zubair, what would you do is you'll water your orchard, and the moment you've completed, allow the water to flow. And this was the easy command. Rather, that was not even the law. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him to give some concession. Be a little bit lenient with this other sahabi. Once you finished with your work, immediately release the water. The original law is, Zubair, you allow the water, you stop the flow. And when the water reaches a certain height, you collect, you store, then you release. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just to avoid any conflict, Zubair, you just block it for a little while, irrigate your orchard and immediately release. Don't worry about the levels, that's the normal law. So when this sahabi heard it, he was fuming, he was very upset. He's telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ankana ibn Ammatik, because Zubair radiallahu anhu is your relative, that is why the decision is in favor of him. Wajhu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, red, pale in the face, upset. He says, that's how you speak? You feel that I am driven by prejudice? You feel my decision is in favor of a relative? And on this an ayah was revealed. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only this incident, the entire ummah to come till the day of Qiyamah, tell them, but the qasam of Allah, this is to emphasize, anyone in your ummah, tell him his iman is not perfected until he does not submit totally, holistically to every directive and command of yours. Then something is said that this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Now we don't go into the details of it. Perhaps it's ancient. Maybe it was for that time. Perhaps that was the social norm of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For our times it would be different. Every sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to be living in our lives. Tell that person his iman, there's a question mark, he needs to rejuvenate it, consolidate and make an effort to develop complete iman. How can he say that? But this incident that took place was not a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a sunnah, then we can never ever research or find out, we have to do it. This was a normal dispute of worldly affairs. Worldly affairs. Two people have come, tabled a matter with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passes decision in favor of one, and the other is upset. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the worldly decisions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you don't accept, there's the question mark on your iman. Imagine if we question the actual sunnah and sharia of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People want to find out, Mawlana, why do we have to do qurbani? Sometimes, perhaps we live in such cocoon circles. Perhaps we are so protected in our circles, we are not exposed to what's happening outside of that circle. Allah protect every one of us, that this secret ingredient of totally submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be permeating my life. But where does it start? It starts in my home. In the home, the moment a directive is given, a command or other is given to a child, to your son, to your daughter, immediately that has to be received, accepted and complied with. If there is uphill, the child is saying, Dad, Papa, you know what you say? Or he does not accept it, or he doesn't accept that command. Then that is the stepping stone to a society that's not going to be submissive to the command of Allah. Because if we can't be obedient to a lower authority, how do we expect obedience to a higher authority? Obedience and submission starts at home. Subhanallah. This is just a point in passing, but a lesson for us. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Haq Magda Sahib, gave a bayan very recently, last night actually. And in his majlis he had mentioned, he said, people are complaining. If the three-year-old child, you take away the phone, it's a tantrum, it's rolling on the ground. Four-year-old, you take away the tablet, he doesn't want to listen to mommy and papa after that. He says, you took away the device from me. So what I'm saying is, I have given it some thoughts. I'm thinking, why those young children are throwing a tantrum when you take away a gadget? Can't understand. Okay, the older people, Molana is, he says, I can't understand. Why would you be so attached with that gadget? Like, you know, you leave home and you forgot your phone and you can't continue to the masjid. No, you have to go back. Even if you want rakat masbuk, that phone has to be in the pocket. Miswak? No, wudu time we make miswak. So anyway, the point Molana had driven home, he said, I'm thinking about it. He says, look around in society and you'll see a breastfeeding mother holding the child to breastfeed and she's scrolling with her phone on the other hand. He says, what you expect to filter down to the child? What do you expect? If the mother is going to be doing it while breastfeeding, that's going to transfer to the child. On one occasion, in Amzintu, there was a bayan, so there was a topics, something to this effect, about upbringing of children. So one father came, and he says, let me give you my story. He says, my son, 3.5 years old, he was reading entire Surah Yusuf of Bahat. Surah Yusuf of Bahat. So I say, mashallah, that's very young, 3.5, Surah Yusuf. So he says, when my wife was pregnant and expecting this child, every single day she read Surah Yusuf. Surah Maryam, Surah Yusuf. So this child, when he started talking, he was mumbling, but when he had clarity of speech, suddenly, mother didn't teach him Surah Yusuf. Suddenly Surah Yusuf is being recited. At times he would just start from a certain portion, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي, or he will, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ, any ayat, and he'll continue for a few verses. Yes, he may get stuck, but he'll continue. And then this father is saying, my wife used to recite Surah Yusuf, expecting this child. That is why now Quran just flows on the lips of this child of mine. Now that is what's going to filter down. If in our homes there's going to be submission, then that's going to filter down. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a sahabi by the name of Julaybib radiallahu anhu. Julaybib radiallahu anhu wasn't a blue-eyed boy. He never looked very handsome. We would say, you know, he never looked handsome at all. He was the person that if you looked at him, you wouldn't give him a second look. He never had any financial status. He was really someone of, you know, like a nobody in society. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he told Julaybib, I want to get you married. He said, Ya Rasul, get me married. Who's going to give a second look to me? So Nabi Sam said, okay, leave it to me. Nabi Sam comes to one sahabi, said, Zawijni ibnatak. Oh my sahabi, can you hand over the daughter, your daughter in marriage? Can you give over your daughter's hand in marriage? This person says, Naam, wa qurratu aini ain. I mean, definitely, without doubt, to take her. So he said, wait, hold on. You sure you ready to get her married? Yes. Not for me. I want to get her married to someone else. No. Liman? For who you want her? Julaybib. Sorry, I need to make mashwara at home. You know, generally these things, the wife has to decide. Minister of Home Affairs. So when it was a good decision, Nabi Sam, definitely. Definitely. When it's Julaybib, pass on the buck. I have to make mashwara. Normal person, you know, when the youngster goes for proposal and you propose for the girl, maaf, man, the istikhara didn't come out right. So now we'll pass it on to the wife. She must make decision. Sure. He plays the same game. He comes to his wife. He says, are you happy with your daughter getting married? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants your daughter's hand in marriage. Definitely, what's the mashwara about? Why did you come? No. He's asking for the daughter's hand, not for himself. For who? Julaybib. No ways. Ini. Never. It's not even open for discussion. So the father, he's happy now. He says, now I'll go tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my wife is not happy about it. So now he, not me, it's the wife that's not happy, her decision. And I don't want any turmoil in the, you know, I don't want a rocky marriage, so let me go and see, the wife is not happy. So the sahabi, as he's leaving, the daughter heard the entire discussion. She asked the parents, who brought this proposal? Who brought it? Not who am I getting married to? Not who's the groom? Who would be the groom? Who brought the proposal? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought the proposal. This girl is asking the parents, Ataruddani amra rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you all going to reject the proposal of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He knows what he wants me for. He will never ever leave me to destruction. There's khair in it, accept it. Father and mother, look in. How do we accept this? I mean, what are we going to tell the family? You know, we all, like, what face are we going to tell everyone? What face are we going to show? Daughter said, I'm not listening. I want to get married. Nabi Sam said it. So the father is coming to Nabi Sam. Daughter is happy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for them. Allahumma rizq alay, Allahumma subba alayhim al rizq sabban sabba, wala taj'al aishahuma kaddan kadda. Oh may Allah bless them with the barakah in this dunya. Open up the doors of barakah, rizq and sustenance. Let there be not even a thorn to disturb them in this life. There must be no difficulty. Eventually they got married. Junaybib radiallahu anhu went for one of the expeditions, he becomes shaheed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of the expedition, he says, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ? Do we have the bodies of all the martyrs? Sahaba says, yes. Anyone missing? He said, ya fulanan wa fulanan. So and so, unaccounted for, so and so, missing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay. They went, search party, bring a few bodies. Anyone else still missing? Yeah, one or two still missing. Found the bodies. Anyone still missing? Eventually they said, Ya Rasulullah, we counted for all, no one is missing. Nabi Sam says, I'm missing someone. Where's my Julaybib? He's missing. So the Sahaba go, they find, looking for Julaybib. They find him, he's a martyred soul under 7 bodies. They bring Julaybib. Nabi Sam with tears in his eyes says, Hada minni wa ana minhu. He is part of me, I am part of him. This is what I'm looking for. Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, when we went to do the warsu and the estate, we found that the wife was amongst the most richest women in Madina Tayyiba. Why? Because of her accepting the proposal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up the doors of barakah and khair for her even in the dunya. Besides what's in store for her in akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with total submission for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The world is having summits looking for global solutions. Sharia has given us submission for the global solution of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we don't ever ever forget the ummah of Gaza. Brothers, what's happening now is like, you know, you think these people are mad. These, they don't know what, you know, perhaps you're ready to use any word in the dictionary to describe them. But is that going to help? What's really going to help? We submit to the deen of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions of khair and goodness will come. What's happening to them is good for them. Shahada is being met, alhamdulillah. But we always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afia. We want khair, we want barakah. I mean, we want to go to Masjid al-Aqsa. Who wants to go right there and being turned away? Imagine going right to the door and says, you can't tie your ihram. Imagine going to say, no, ihram is not allowed in the masjid. Imagine being said, you're from South Africa, you're not allowed in this masjid. Now, alhamdulillah, we make dua for our country also. All because of ICJ this is happening. South Africans, I've been eyed out, I've been selected out because of this. So alhamdulillah, South Africa was behind that case. But we have to be behind the divine case for khair to come for the ummah of Gaza, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant khair and afiyah to the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.